As we go into this time to hear and respond to God's word, we are going to start off where we left off last week, exploring the reality of God's kingdom here and now on earth as it is in heaven. But before we get too far, just a heads up, we're going to be doing a bit of recapping today because we need to for what the word of God is going to be teaching us, what Jesus is going to be teaching us today. We need to make sure that we fully understand what it is he is saying here. As we've been exploring in Matthew chapter 13, the various parables of the kingdom of God, recognizing that we live in a present but not yet state. We live in a time between times. We live in a present but not yet kingdom. We have a present but not yet life. We experience a present but not yet fully fulfilled promise in Christ. For as that great memorial acclamation of the church, this ancient creed almost, and I know we are Church of God, no creed but the Bible, but this is the Bible. This is the story of the Bible. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. And I'd like to add to that, that Christ will come again to finish what he started. Because we recognize something. God's work here on earth is not finished yet. He is not finished yet with you or me. He's not finished with anybody. He's not finished with this creation. Because the creation is far from where it was supposed to be. Because when we look around this world, we recognize, we realize that things aren't quite the way they're supposed to be. Things like death, pain, suffering, and sorrow, those weren't part of the original blueprints. Rather, they were things we brought in with our sin. God warned us. God warned us. If you do this, you surely will die. And we did it. And look at what happens each and every day all around us. We experience the pain in death. We experience suffering, trials, and temptations, all because of our sin. But thanks be to God, for Jesus will come again. Once again, to finish what he started. That he came already. He died for you and me on the cross. And he didn't just stay dead in a grave, but as we're going to be celebrating in 2 weeks, he burst out of that grave in body, rose, fully restored. And he will come again to do it for you and me as well. I love that song. I can't think of the name of it. You know, he did it once before, but he will do it again. Remember, that's the song, right? Remember, I love that song. He can do it again because he will do it again. And we have hope in this that God will bring the world, all of creation, all of heavens and earth, back to where it is he promised it once would be. Yet we live in the tension. We live in the difficult spot of this time between times. And we've been asking this question, how? How is it we do it? How is it we live in this tension well? Because Jesus told us he understood there would be tension. He says, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome this world. He's prepared us for this through the Holy Spirit. And he has given us great purpose in this tension through the Holy Spirit. For God has a plan for us in the period of waiting for this kingdom that is here, but still not fully yet. Much like a call he gave to Abraham so long ago in a period of waiting. When Abraham was first called in Genesis 12, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And church, what we need to recognize about this promise to Abraham is it is our promise as well as God's children. For is this not what Christ has come and done in us? He has made us a vessel of his blessings to this world to be harbingers of hope bringers of the gospel to a lost and dying world, to fulfill that great mission that he gave us through the Great Commission, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. To be that vessel of blessings, to do what it is that he called Abraham out to do. Understanding, it didn't fully come overnight either. Abraham had to go on a long journey, a very long journey. And even the people of Israel, his descendants, went on a very even longer journey to get to that point of promise. To get to that point of promise, there was much tension in that, and we experienced the same. How is it we do it, though? How is it we do this well and live in this present but not yet kingdom, bringing us to where we've been going, to the parables of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13, where we left off last week in verse 47 in a section of Jesus' teaching where, if we recall from verse 36, it says, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.'" We explained this context change last week that happens. The crowd, the audience has changed. Jesus is now alone with his disciples in the house. It's just Jesus and them. And it's here where Jesus explains this parable that he teaches about the wheat and the weeds. Once again, the important point being that you want to be the wheat. And also, it's not our job to determine who's the wheat and the weeds, but it's to be the best wheat that you can be, to produce that crop that's 30, 60, and 100-fold, to be a wheat that makes more wheat, to go and make disciples as the Great Commission commands us, to know Christ more and more so you can make him known all the more. You know, before this, Jesus was walking along the way, and there's crowds, just droves of people following him, and he was teaching them in parables as he went along the way, just kind of pointing out, you see that farmer over there? The kingdom of heaven's like that. You see that mustard tree over there? The kingdom of heaven's like that. And his disciples being like, oh, I don't get what he's saying. And so Jesus brings him in, tells him to take a knee. Let's talk about this. And the disciples' first question is, explain this parable to us. Explain it to us, Jesus. We're confused and we need help. And so he does. And then he gives them some more parables. Parables we talked about last week. The parable of that treasure hidden in the field. That parable of that fine pearl of great value that's far more valuable than anything else. Jesus is still alone with his disciples here now. As we turn to verse 47, he's still alone with them, and he's still answering their question. He's not finished answering their question about, explain the parable of the wheat in the weeds. Explain the parable of the weeds of the field, they ask. And in verse 47, he continues with another parable. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Repeating the theme and the point of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. But what is really different about this is Jesus connects it to most of them. Because what were most of the disciples before they started following Jesus? Does anybody know? They were fishermen. I think half of them actually were fishermen before following Jesus. And so this is Jesus taking that. You see that farmer over there in the field? That's Jesus bringing it to them. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus does this for us? That he brings his word to us. He makes his word relevant to us in such a way that we can understand it, that we can grasp it. And he's repeating the same point. He's repeating the same reality, that point that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because when we read this parable, what we realize is it's not our job to figure out who the good fish are and who the bad fish are. And boy, there's some bad fish. Have you ever had bad fish? Ew. You can tell if it's not good when it's cooked. But it's not our job to do that. It's the angelic host's job. It is Jesus' job to sort through the fish. Our job is to be a good fish. Our job is to be a good fish. However, how do we do that job? It's here where Jesus answers that question. He gives a huge answer to our question and how it is we live in this time between times, how it is we live in this present but not yet kingdom right here, right now, to live for Christ in his purposes. His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's in this very next verse, in verse 51, he asks the golden question. Have you understood all these things? That's a loaded question. Knowing Jesus, if I was a disciple, I'd be like, this is a trap. I'd be like, General Akbar, it's a trap. Don't answer. But they do. They do. They answer, and they answer correctly. They said yes, because they said that they understood. And the question we have to ask is the same question Jesus is asking. Do we understand these things? As we've dug into all these parables and that we've poured into just understanding what it is they say, what it is they teach us about God's kingdom and how it is we live in the tension of this present but not yet kingdom, do we understand? Because he wants to make sure they understand clearly. He wants them to understand what this kingdom is, what this kingdom looks like, and how it's unlike anything they've ever experienced. It's unlike anything we have ever experienced on this earth. So he asks, do you understand? And when they respond, yes, Jesus goes on and teaches them yet another parable. It's the last parable of Matthew chapter 13. It's the last parable of the kingdom we see here. And it says in verse 52, and he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Now imagine with me, if you just woke up one day, never read Matthew 13, and you just decided, you know, today's a good day to read Matthew 13, 52. Would you understand what Jesus is saying here? Would you understand the point that Jesus is making? I wouldn't. You can ask me afterwards, buddy. I'm going to talk about that just in a second. We're going to talk about what a scribe is in just a second. The point is, we wouldn't understand it. Context is king, as we talked about last week. Jesus asked them, do you understand all I have said? And they're like, yes, we do. Now it's time to go on. For in God's kingdom, he said to them, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Who is Jesus referring to here? The scribe at this time was a teacher of the law. They were a pivotal part in Jewish society to pass on the word of God, generation to generation. They were the ones who were to teach, to instruct, to record and re-record and re-record. I mean, they would be writing the word of God each and every day to make sure it would pass on, that all the teachings would continue to pass on generation to generation to generation to generation. They took very seriously that part of the Great Commission that says to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. They took that very seriously, and that, Lucas, is what a scribe was. But, yes, they spread the word just like a disciple. And that's the thing. Who is Jesus talking to here? The scribe. Who is it that Jesus is referring to? The scribe that's trained in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. If we answer that question of Jesus, do you understand? Do you get it now? Do you see more clearly than you did the other day? Did you see more clearly now than you did outside of the house? Now that we're in our huddle and we've all taken a knee, do you understand? And if we answer yes, These are Jesus' words to us. These are Jesus' words. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasures, what is old and what is new. What does that mean, though? What is it Jesus is getting at here? You know, what would make a good parable for us today? You know, I think about things like all the things I've learned in my past, those lifelong lessons I've learned in my past, and how God has continued to grow and build off of each and every one of those lessons. And how if I forgot those lessons in my past, I can't learn the lessons he has for me in the future. I can't perceive the lesson he has for me in the future, because once again, I can't just jump to verse 52. I can't make that leap. I can't just go straight to the answer. Because to go straight to the answer is to forget all the context, everything that happened before that brought me to the answer. I think about how it is like whenever my son's doing math homework and I'm trying to help him. I don't think he realizes this, but dad's trying to relearn how to do math too with him. And he's sitting there, and he opens up his practice test, and he's going through it, and I'm just kind of proctoring, make sure he does it right. And I'm just like, you clicked that answer really, really fast. Are you sure you got that right? Because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. And the difference between me and him is he did the lesson. He did the work to learn how to do the problems, and I hadn't yet. I didn't have the context. So I couldn't come to the proper conclusion. I couldn't come to the proper answer, because there's something very important that Jesus says here in the very beginning of this parable. Therefore. Therefore. Because everything else, therefore, now, this. And that is what Jesus is getting at here with his disciples. That we need to understand everything before to take hold of what is to come. The new that is to come. Understanding fully, as the author of Hebrews 13:8 says very clearly about our God, about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that mean then? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means everything that was old is just as applicable as everything else that is new. And as scribes trained in the kingdom of heaven, what does that mean for us? Have you ever heard someone say, I'm a New Testament Christian, or I'm a red letter Christian? What they're referring to there is that they only are caring about this portion of their Bibles. Actually, I got a little of the Minor Prophets in there. This portion. And if we look at this portion, just that, compared to the rest of this wonderful revelation God's given us, and just say, all that old stuff, it doesn't matter anymore. They just want to throw it out. I don't understand a lot of it. You know, there's a bunch of wars and weird things and weird laws about oxen goring people and how you should put to death the oxen and the owner. It's like, I just don't get it. It just seems so primitive to me. And the point is, it's relevant. It is so relevant to us here today in how we are to live and act, how we are to truly fulfill that greatest commandment. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is the second. It's like the first. Where does he get those? Where does he get that brilliant commandment from? He gets it from the Word of God. He gets it from the Old Testament, because Jesus took what was old and fulfilled it. You see, the Old Testament points us to Jesus. It shows us why we need Jesus. It instructs us in our absolute depravity and sin and how we are helpless without God. It shows us this, and it shows us how things were meant to be in the Garden of Eden. And then as we move into that new, it shows us how God is restoring us back to that new and better Eden. Because as the Old Testament points us to the new, the New Testament then helps and reveals the old. It's a lens by which we can then look at the old and go, oh, I get that now. I get that whole weird moment in Genesis when God tells Abraham to go sacrifice his son Isaac, his one only son. I mean, isn't that a weird moment? God promises Abraham that his son Isaac is going to become this great nation through him, and that his son Isaac, which he had to wait 90 years to have, I mean, he had him in his old age. His wife was well beyond 90 at this point. She had him when she was 90, and that's just, can you imagine being pregnant when you're 90? Whew. The point being, God tells him, now you need to go sacrifice him. Show that you're loyal to me. Go sacrifice your son, Isaac, that I told you all these great things were coming through. It's just weird. It's a story that, in fact, in seminary, they actually said, this is one of the most difficult stories in the Bible. Don't preach on it. It's going to open up a world of questions. But here's the thing. When we actually take Jesus' parable here, when we actually look at what Jesus teaches the disciples about this whole old and new treasure, when we understand what it is Jesus is teaching us, that story is so life-giving. Because what God was doing with Abraham was showing Abraham what he was going to do for you and me. God was showing Abraham, and yes, God stays Abraham's hand and sends a proper sacrifice in replacement of Isaac. But the point of the story is to show what he was going to do for all of humanity, as it's what he does for the whole of humanity when we get to Jesus. Jesus' first coming, his death, his resurrection is the big therefore. Therefore, because of all this, and now look what's to come. For Christ has come, Christ has died, and Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. He will come again. And here's the thing. We need the old to get to the new. We can't understand fully the new without the old. We must be stewards of the whole revelation of God, understanding that it all applies, and that as scribes trained in the kingdom of heaven, we are like a master of a house who takes out their old treasures and their new. And we can ask, what does that exactly mean, those old treasures, those old things? Anyone have that family heirloom in your home that's just so precious and you have it on display on a shelf somewhere? Or that old collectible, I have plenty of those, that you're just like, oh, I'm excited to have this, and I want to show it off. And then you have those new treasures, that big screen TV you're going to use on Monday to watch the final March Madness game, to watch the national championship, which I already gave up on that. IU was eliminated the first round, so I was out. But many of you are going to be watching that big screen TV with those teams playing basketball. I don't even know who's in the tournament now. I lost interest. But the point being, those old and new things that we treasure in our lives, they both have value. But more importantly, his word, old and new, has far more value, for it is a treasure in a field. It is that fine pearl that's worth giving up everything else that's old and new in our lives to take hold of what is old and new in God's kingdom. And it's through this practice of seeing the wisdom of the past, seeing the word of God, past, present, future, that we can truly begin to understand how it is we do this, how it is we live in the midst of the tension. Because when we can look at the word of God, past, present, and future, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that there is hope, that if we are in Christ Jesus, we have hope in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering. We know a better day is indeed coming, and that day will come when he returns. He did it once before. He can do it again, and he will do it again. Nothing in all of heaven and earth is going to stop him. He will come again. And in that hope isn't wishful thinking, as we've talked about in the past. It is expectant. It is assured hope, because we know exactly who our God is. He is the same as he was yesterday, as he is today, as he will be tomorrow, forever. We can take hope in that. in the midst of the tension. And we can truly live well, live that life abundantly that Jesus came to bring to us, that is here, but still kind of not yet. We can do it by being that scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, who is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old, and in this, finding hope. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. As our worship team comes